nation, in our world. But God is, I'm excited about the future. I don't know if anybody else is. I'm excited about the future. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be here and worship with us this morning. You are, Jesus, you are the King of Kings. You're the Prince of Peace. And we exalt you. We lift high your name, Jesus. This is the name that is above every name. There is nothing that we face that you have not already defeated. So we trust you. Teach us how to be strong and courageous as we step in to the promised land. We step into a new chapter in our lives, in our church. We trust you. May you send your Holy Spirit into this place today. May you stir us, oh God. May you surprise us. We may have come for all sorts of reasons today. Maybe we don't know why we came today, but may you surprise us with your presence and with your power and your love. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
Nothing can separate. God is a God of redemption. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And He turns the mistakes of men into something beautiful. And I don't know how He does it, but He's able to take even our mistakes, our failures. He's able to take our trials, and He's able to turn them for good for those who love God, who have been called according to His purpose.
Right.
So this morning we come to worship the God of redemption. The things that were once dead and gives them new life. So this morning, maybe you come in here struggling. That makes you human. That makes you just like everybody else, if you're honest. But God, in His great mercy and His great love for you, He's going to be working for your good, to make you stronger, to make you more Christ-like, even through that. And so I pray this morning as we worship that we trust that God is good, and that we press into Him, and that our highest aim, and that there's nothing more important to us than to be formed into the image of Christ in our life. So let's press in hard to that goal, church, to be formed into Christ's likeness as we worship this morning. And let's lean on Him and His Holy Spirit to help us do that. Children, hold where you are for 1 second, and then you may be seated.
Good morning again. We had, in the early service, we had Robbie Morris join our church. If you don't know Robbie, she's a sweet lady. Yes, yes. And I want to ask George and Karen Price to come forward. Jack and Gina Lambert. Jack put down his bass. Comes forward, and Larry and Alicia Turner, and some of you longtime members are going, what? We weren't sure whether Larry and Alicia had joined the church officially. They've been a part of our fellowship for a long time, very involved, very, very much in leadership. So let me say something about George. George, we're just going to talk about you for a minute, okay? George was my district superintendent. He was a longtime retired pastor, was my district superintendent before last, one back. And he is actually a member of the Northwest Texas Conference, so he can't join our church. And well, because it was going to be a close vote anyway, George, I'm just saying. I mean, I was taking a poll, and it was iffy, but... But Karen, his wife, is able to join our church. And George, it's a package deal, so you get to come along for the deal. So all of you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you have been baptized in that faith, and we receive that. And I just ask you again, is Jesus Christ still the Lord of your life? And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. And church, will you do that back with them? Yeah. Prayers, presence, gifts, and witness? Yeah. It's all about covenant relationship and being together. So I welcome you as our newest members into our church. God bless you. Thank you. Y'all can be seated. Make sure that these folks get greeted before you leave today. Children, come on up. Listen to Miss Carlene's message today.
I have a microphone in my hand today, so yes. Hey, Abby, can you sit right out here? There you go, right up there. Sit right there. All right. How's everybody doing today? Good. All right. Well, I'm excited to be here. Are you excited to be here? Oh, you're real excited to be here? Are you sure? All right. Well, I'm super excited to be here. So I have a question for you. What do I have with me every Sunday? The Bible, that's right. Do you know why I have my Bible with me? That is absolutely right, Ollie. It helps me learn about Jesus because everything that I share with you comes from God's Word, the Bible. So I want to have it with me so I can maybe read it, look at it, and just be reminded that God is with us and watching over us and His Word is true. Can we believe everything that happened in the Bible?
Yes.
Yes, we can. So, you know, in God's Word is for us. It helps us. It helps us to do what is right. It helps us to make good choices. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bible teaches us all of that? Yeah, it does. And we want to do the things that are pleasing to God, right? Do y'all want to do the things that are pleasing to God? No? Yeah? All right. So raise your hand. Who has a Bible at your home or at church with you or maybe? And parents, do y'all have your Bibles with you today? Maybe on your phone? Phones have become very popular with our Bible. It's good that we can have our Bibles on our phones. Do your parents look at a Bible on a phone sometimes? Your mom has a Bible? All right. Well, good. So Bibles are important. So what are some things the Bible teaches us? Can anybody tell me anything? What does the Bible teach us? Yes. Do what? It teaches us everything. You're right. It does teach us everything, right? It teaches us about Bible stories. It teaches about how Noah obeyed God and built a big boat, right? And do we need to obey God? Yeah. Did it teach us about Jonah and how he didn't want to obey God and the big fish swallowed him? Yeah. But guess what? He did obey God, right? Yeah, did it teach us that God loves us so much that he sent his son Jesus as a baby and how Jesus grew up to be a man and Jesus died on the cross for us? Does it teach us those things? So is the Bible the most important book ever, right? Yes, it is. That's right. You know, it also tells us to love one another, to be kind, to obey our parents. Do you obey parents? Do you obey parents? No one's answering that one. All right. Does it tell us to be strong and courageous and just do what and just do what God asks us to do? It does, doesn't it? It tells us all those things. And we can know that God loves us so much that he gave us the Bible so that we can know all those things and live each day for him. And it says in Psalms 119:105, thy word, which is the Bible, is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Our feet, we walk every day, right? And we need a light. Yes, Ryland? You do know the thing for sign language? Very good. You can show it to me in a minute, okay? All right. So then the Bible leads and guides us, and it guides our path because we need a light, don't we? On our path in life, we need someone to show us how to do things and to what is right, right? Does God show us all those things? Yeah. So, can you read your Bible in a day? No? I can't read it in a day. Yeah. So, but you know what you can do? You can read one verse a day. I know. Can you believe that? You can read one verse a day, and eventually you'll read the whole Bible. Isn't that incredible? Incredible? Yeah. 66 books, right? And lots of verses in the Bible. It may take you a while, but you can read one. Maybe if you get older, you can read two or three, right? You know? But if we just read one verse a day, we are learning God's truth, right? So the Bible is so important for us to have with us at all time. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning. Every year at this time, we give new Bibles to fourth grade kids. So when you get to be in fourth grade, guess what we're going to give you? A Bible. That's right. So today is our day for our fourth graders to come up and receive their Bibles. So we're going to ask all of y'all right here, just this group, if you'll just scoot back a little bit. Not much. Just scoot back a little bit. If y'all would scoot back just a little bit right there because all the fourth graders are going to come stand up here. This way, Reese. Go that way. All right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Right there. Scoot back a little bit. There you go. All right. So at this time, I would like to have all of our fourth grade kids and their families to come join us up front. Okay? So if y'all would just kind of stand here and over here. Okay? All right. Okay. And I'm going to go sit over here by Miss Harper. Okay? All right. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. I'm going to sit on the edge. Okay, y'all can scoot in a little bit. Y'all scoot in together. All right. Go down there, Kate. Go down there with Mom and Dad. Okay, y'all can scoot in. Y'all can move my chair if you want to. Lauren, you can move the chair if you just scoot it out a little bit. There, it'll be fine. Just scoot it out to the middle. Yeah. Okay, and scoot in together. Scoot in. All right, look at this group of kids. Isn't it amazing? God, yes. Okay, so we're going to start down here at this end, and I will call out your name and introduce you and your parents, okay? This is Colston Logue, and his mom and dad are Chris and Heather. Okay, and then this is Cade Patton, and his mom and dad are Bo and Keeley. Okay, and then this is Sutton, and his parents are Kyle and Stephanie. Okay, and then, okay, are you ready? And this is Hazel, and her parents are Brandon and Millie. And then this is Lindley, and her parents are Landon and Lauren. Okay, and then we have Elijah, or Eli, as we call him. And Lene, and their parents are Brent and Lisa. And then we have Lila, and her parents are Ty and Jamie. And so we want to present these Bibles to you as you grow, that you will grow in God's word and in his truth and in his love, and that you will go out and tell others about Jesus. Can y'all do that? All right. All right. I'm going to say a prayer for us, and then we will dismiss that to Children's Church, and then y'all can go back and sit down. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you that you care so much about us, and we thank you for these boys and girls that are here today and their families, Lord. We pray that you have given us your word, the Bible, to lead and teach us, Lord. I pray that our hearts and minds are open to learn and to listen and follow your direction and your leading as we go about our days, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your love and your grace and your truth. And we just ask for your blessings over each one of us and these families and these and all of these boys and girls, Lord. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, kids going to Children's Church that way. Everybody else, thank y'all.
Good morning, church. Well, the next generation. Next generation. Well, welcome again. I know Jeff has welcomed you guys. Welcome to those who are worshiping online with us. I want to remind you to register through the app if you don't mind doing that. That helps us to know who's not able to connect with us. We do a lot of communication through our app, and so if you don't have it, encourage you to download that from your app store. A couple of things I want to remind you about. This evening at 6 p.m. we'll have a healing service in in the sanctuary. And we're going to pray for those who need physical, emotional, or spiritual healing. I encourage you to come and be a part of that. We need people who need prayer, plus we need people who are comfortable praying for people who are needing prayer. Also, the Aspire event is next Sunday night, and there's still time to purchase a ticket. You can do that through our app, and those will be available this week at the church office or at the event itself. So, ladies, there's still an opportunity to sign up for that. Also, there are some yard signs that are outside of our entrances to the sanctuary, and those signs promote the vote for Sanctuary City, which will take place November the 8th. Encourage you to pick up one or two or three and distribute those with people that you know. And let's get the word out. Opportunity to support life. Let's stand and affirm our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, in the life everlasting. Please be seated. I want to make a couple of comments about our prayer time tonight. You know, as I look through Scripture, a big part of Jesus' ministry was healing. And it's the theological position of this church that ministry continues today. And man, we just want to go after that. This evening. And one of my responsibilities is to keep prayer requests circulating in our church, getting those out to the prayer team. And over the last 3 or 4 months, we've just had a lot of people struggling physically, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually as well. And I don't know where you land as far as healing goes. It's a mysterious thing for me. It really is. There's a lot of things I don't understand about what Jesus is up to. Healing is one of those. But I know what God's word says, and we just want to ask him to move. And it's a very safe place. It should be a very natural thing for us to do. So I encourage you to come if you need a touch from the Lord, and if you want to pray for those who are needing a touch, come as well. You might get touched as well. I'm looking for an encounter tonight for me personally with the Lord. So Please come. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you, God, that you never change. Lord, there's no variation with you. You're not like a shifting shadow that moves around. You're the same today, yesterday, and forever. And Lord, as we pursue you tonight, I pray, God, that you give us peace about that. I pray that you give us boldness in regard to that. And Jesus, you're the healer. I'm not. Jeff's not. People that are coming tonight are not. Jesus, you're the healer. You're the one that we seek. And so I pray against fear in regard to that. I pray that you free people up who are not quite sure if this is something they need to be involved in. I pray that you give them a peace about that. Free them up, Lord, to come and seek you. And I pray against what the enemy would try to do to disrupt that, to keep people from experiencing the things you want them to experience, not just this evening, but this morning as well. So, Lord, I pray, God, that you move in power in our midst. Lord, I just pray against depression this morning. I pray against anxiety this morning. I pray against mental issues this morning. Lord, I pray against physical issues that are keeping us from being who you've saved us to be, Jesus. And Lord, we just want to be a New Testament church where the Holy Spirit is free to move as he desires to move. We don't want to quench him. We don't want to resist him. So give us wisdom, give us discernment as we seek you as a part of the body of Christ. Lord, I just thank you for the unity that we experience in this fellowship. And I pray that you protect that through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we want to be on the same page as you are. Help us to do that. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to pray this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to pray tonight. And Lord, the opportunities that we have through the week as individuals. Give us a desire for that, to spend time with you. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you there will be people up front after the service to pray with you if you have a need. Also, our giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors. If you have a prayer request, you can drop those in the box as well. Our pastor will meet our visitors out by the main entrance after the service. If you would... maybe choose not to do that, would you drop your guest card in that box as well? Also, the campaign for this vote for Right to Life, this vote to be a sanctuary city, it's costing some money to do that. And so if you would like to contribute to that, you can go to our app, you can go to our PushPay site, and just choose Life Ordinance and support that if you feel so led to. God bless.
Anybody feel the Holy Spirit? Spirit is with us. Glad that you are with us this morning. If you are our guest, we are especially glad that you're here. Hope you feel that Spirit. I hope you feel the love of Christ. Hope you feel the love of Christ through His people as well. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It has a blue stripe and it says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out and you can bring that with you. At the end of the service, I'll be down at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you and have a free gift for our guests. Before we get into the message, I want to say a word about, you've got an insert and about the Vote for Life, and we've got a sign in the front of the church. I'll talk more about that here in just a little bit, and we've got yard signs that you can take with you. You know, and again, I'm going to share a little bit more about something that happened this week about that, but did you know that when you take a stand for life, when you take a stand for the gospel, when you take a stand for Christ, did you know that there's generally going to be a price to pay? You can lose friends. All sorts of prices. Fortunately, we don't have to pay in this country the price that many in other parts of the world do. But I just want to say this. I've said this before, and I just want to be very clear. Your pastor, I will always stand for life. It's not a political issue. Don't buy into that. It's not a political issue. I'm not endorsing a candidate, and I would never do that. I'm not endorsing a party or anything like that. But this is, life is not political. Life is God's business, and life is precious. And your pastor will always stand for that. And if that's hurtful and offensive to someone, I'm sorry, but I'd rather disappoint you than the Lord. So, just kind of where I'm at. I hope that you will join me in supporting that. I hope you will also join me in voting for that. There's some of the narratives that are out there that are not true. Number one is that if we pass this ordinance, that the city is going to get sued and it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend that. The city may very well get sued. It's happened. If you look at Lubbock, what happened in Lubbock, they got sued and it was very quickly dismissed and the city won on that. But also there are people that have already said that they will stand in the gap legally for us and it would not cost our city a penny if any of that has to be defended. So that's number one. And number two, the other narrative that's not accurate is that we don't need to have this ordinance because the state's already, done some stuff on the issue of abortion. Well, guess what? Governments, parties change, governments change, legislators change. That can be, it may be the way it is today, but it may not be the way it's going to be next year or in 5 years or whatever. So I just, what a joy it would be to live in a city where I make my home, where we can say, not here. We stand for life in Abilene, Texas. And so I hope that you'll join me in that. If you're troubled by what I'm saying, I would love to visit with you. It's okay. It's okay to disagree with me. We can still love each other. Acts chapter 5 is where we are today. What a great book. The men's Bible study is going through Acts, and it's an adventure. The church was it was a baby, little baby church that was just getting started, and it was exploding, and all sorts of miraculous things were happening, and it's exciting to go back and remember those things that were going on. So Acts chapter 5, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture today. Because I thought it was important to see this whole story as it unfolded. Acts chapter 5, verse 12 is where we're going to start. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. It's amazing we're doing a healing service tonight. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Not some, not most, all of them were healed. Then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. Now think about what's transpiring. So people are coming to the Lord, people are getting healed, demons are being cast out, and they're filled with jealousy. That's their response. That's sad. Verse 18, they arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin and the full assembly of the elders of Israel and sent to the jail for the apostles. And this I'd like to have been a fly on the wall for that. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there, so they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." "The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. But God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that we might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody." Don't you love that? He claimed to be somebody. "And about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men, and you will only find yourselves fighting against God." Man, oh man. Was this written last week? What? "His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." And we know that name is Jesus. "Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ." Does anybody say amen to that?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Jesus, you are the good news. Send your Holy Spirit to this place. We know you're here. We know because we've gathered in your name and we're here and we know you're here with us. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak now. Surprise us. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm continuing the sermon series I started last week. I encourage you, if you didn't, we're not here to hear last week's sermon. I encourage you to go online and watch that, not because I'm a great orator or anything, but I think the message is needed. We need to hear the message. Today's message is a house divided will fail. A house divided will fail. So just a little recap, just to kind of bring us up to speed to the points I want to make about this passage. The apostles were healing and casting out demons. They were proclaiming the gospel and enjoying the favor of the people. The Sanhedrin, just as I said earlier, the Sanhedrin, why would the leaders of the church be angry when people are being healed and people are being led to Christ? But they found themselves being angry and jealous, and they set out to silence and punish the apostles. They sent them to prison, and they were as they were trying to decide how to punish them, they wanted to kill them. They wanted to execute them. An angel set them free, instructed them to continue sharing the good news, to go into the courts and courtyards and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. The angel, in verse 20, go and stand in the temple courts, tell the people the full message of this new life. The Sanhedrin had just the opposite advice. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. So there's both, they've had share the gospel, stop sharing the gospel. They chose to share the gospel. Then Gamaliel, teacher, he was, by the way, if you look in Acts 22, you see that he was actually a teacher of Saul before Saul became Paul and became a Christian. He taught Saul in the ways of the law. And he stood to speak. And it said he was a prominent man that with good standing. People looked up to him. And so we're going to pick up, just kind of unpack this passage a little bit that we read today. First thing I think that the Lord would have us hear. If our purpose, and I think as we go through this, church, I want you to think about the journey we're on right now as well. If our purpose is not of God, it will come to nothing. Now, it's interesting. Theudas had a message, and he had followers, and he was killed, and his followers dispersed, and it said that his mission came to nothing. And then Judas, he had people following him. He was killed, and his followers scattered, and his message came to nothing. Guess what? Our Savior was put in a tomb as well. What's the difference? He didn't stay there. What the apostles? So here we are, 2,000 years later, still worshiping the King of Kings, Jesus. We didn't. His apostles didn't. They scattered for 3 days. They were scared to death, and they huddled up in a room just scared to death of what the Romans would do to them if they caught them. But then, guess what happened? Jesus showed up. The same Jesus that was taken down off of the cross, lifeless, put in a tomb, prepared, his body prepared for burial and put in a tomb. And that same Jesus showed up and said, "Peace be with you. How about some breakfast, guys?" Isn't that good stuff? And so at that point, all the apostles, we learned through history, all the apostles except for John suffered a martyr's death. Why in the heck would you do that? If your leader, if your spiritual leader, if they killed him, and as the Jews were trying to say, "Hey, tell everybody that somebody came and stole his body and hid it." Well, if that was the case, would those men have gone to their death? No, they went to their death because he rose, because he was alive. If our purpose is not of God, it will come to nothing, which leads me to the second point. If our purpose is from God, nothing can stop us. If it's not of God, it amounts to nothing. If it is of God, nothing can stop us. There's nothing that will keep us from succeeding as long as, and I said this last week, God told me from the very first Sunday that I was your pastor, focus on me, your kingdom, and do it through God's word. Just focus on Him, and He will bless us. And I believe we have, and I believe He has, as I said last week. If our purpose is from God, if we follow Him, nothing, church, can stop us. And Gamaliel, verse 38, "Therefore, in the present case, I advise you," he said, "leave these men alone, let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, It will fail. If it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. And I'm not anyone's judge. It's above my pay grade. That's the Lord's business. But I'm just telling you, if we, as things begin to unfold through this schism in our denomination, church, don't put your faith in me. Don't put your faith in the Gobel Methodist Church. Don't put your faith in the United Methodist. Don't put your faith in Jesus. Follow him. Seek him with your whole heart. And we're going to be blessed and we're going to succeed. If our purpose is from God, nothing, church, can stop us. And I believe that we have been and will be blessed. I said it when we started the service. Although, and I said this last week in our all-church meeting, I have three things that are kind of flying around in my spirit all the time, and that is fatigue, anger, and grief that are all kind of floating around in me through these past few months. But in the midst of all of that, and I say this, and Cheryl can tell you, this is how I feel. I am excited about the future of Wiley Methodist Church. I'm so excited about what God has in store for us because I know that he's assembled people here that want to follow him. We're not following man. We want to follow him. So, third point I think that the Lord would have for us today from this scripture. Yeah, if our purpose is from God, nothing can stop us, but we should expect opposition if we follow God. Not only might it happen, we should expect it to happen. I mean, in verse 17 today, the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put, what was their crime? Proclaiming Christ and healing people. That was their crime. They arrested the apostles, put them in jail. They were furious and wanted to put them to death, but Gamaliel's speech persuaded them. He called the apostles in and had them flogged. It's like, okay, we won't kill you. We're just going to beat you half to death. And then they ordered them not to speak the name of Jesus and let them go. We should expect opposition. Hopefully, none of us are going to be flogged or put to death. But although, the way things are going in our culture, who knows? I told Cheryl this weekend, some of the stuff I preach, and I hope that you have received those things in a loving manner. I never want to preach hate in any sense. But some of the things that I preach, soon I may be imprisoned for that. It could happen really easily. It's happening in Canada and in other countries. We should expect opposition if we follow God. Now, I've never really understood why someone would be so passionate about, and some of the things I'm fixing to say are going to be kind of stark, and I hope you take it the way it's intended, but I'm just going to speak boldly what I think the Lord would have me speak. I've never understood how people can be so passionate about taking the life of a baby in the womb. I mean, like, not just believe that, yeah, I think that's probably, I kind of see both sides. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that campaign and get angry and protest and do, I mean, I'm like, really? I mean, that's your cause? That's your cause to kill little babies in the womb? I don't understand it. I put out on Wednesday, me and some others, we put out the Vote for Life sign in front of our church Wednesday, and it came to my attention this weekend that there was a thread on Facebook of some people that were not associated with our church. I didn't even know these people. They were just random people that drove by our church, and they were very upset. One of them, George, you can appreciate this, one of them said they called my DS. I'm like, okay. I mean, no offense, George, you were my DS, but okay. Have at it. But people that we don't know. You may know some of them. I don't know, but I went and looked, and there was just this vitriol, this anger for our church, for me. And there's several churches have those signs, and they're saying that's illegal. I'm going to call the DS and report him, and call his the denomination and the IRS. There was threats to call the IRS on us and stuff. But again, first of all, that's not illegal to do that. It's not illegal to stand for a cause. And second of all, I hope I don't have to prove this out. But if I got to go to jail to stand for life, I'll go to jail. And we should expect opposition when we stand up for the righteous causes and for Christ. We should expect it. These men, their sin was leading people to Christ and healing people and casting out demons, and they got flogged. And here was their response, number four. We should not only expect opposition, we should rejoice in suffering for Christ's sake and never stop proclaiming the good news of Jesus. The apostles, now picture this. These guys probably still had bloody backs. Okay, are you with me? Everybody shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. These men probably still had bloody backs. And here's what it says. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. And it goes on. Day after day, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Now think, just bloody backs and all. I will not stop proclaiming that Jesus is the Christ. And I will rejoice because I've had to pay a price to make that stand. Man, I'm not there. I'm not sure if I got flogged for having a sign out in front of the church that I would rejoice in that. But that's what these guys did. Church, these are volatile times. These are crazy and unusual times that we find ourselves in our culture. Just cling to the old rugged cross. I'm going to write a song about that someday. Just cling to it. Just cling to it. He will not leave us. He will not desert us. He when we suffer, we should rejoice. Because, man, if there's anything worth suffering for, it's the gospel. Well, if you'd just bow your heads with me. Father, I'm reminded in your word, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. If righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And we know, Lord, that you didn't die for nothing. You died to set us free. And that's worth sharing. It's worth rejoicing in. It's even worth suffering for what you've done for us. It's worth it. Jesus, you didn't die for nothing. You died to redeem us, to set us free. And we love you for it. May your spirit well up inside of us. May a boldness and a may we be convicted. May we be passionate for you. May our lives reflect it. Father, we like people to like us and we like to get along, but Father, sometimes standing boldly has a price. Give us courage. Be strong and courageous, your word said. That's what you told Joshua. I think that's what you would tell us. I'm entering you into the promised land. Be strong and courageous. Everywhere you set your foot, I will claim that land. I think that's your heart for us. That's your word to us. love you, we trust you, and we exalt your holy name. It's in that holy name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. I invite you as we stand, if you are able to close. The altar rail's open. Do not leave this place if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know him the way I'm talking about him as Savior. Don't leave this place. Talk with someone. There will be people to pray for you at the end of the service as well. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.